and welcome to this episode of Ann Arbor AF, a podcast for folks trying to figure out what's going on in Ann Arbor. We discuss current events in local politics and policy, governance, and other civic good times. I'm Jess Lita, and I'm here with my co-host Molly Kleinman. We both use she, her pronouns. We're your co-hosts to help you get informed and get involved. It's your city. Let's jump in. Today, we're talking about the next city council meeting coming up Monday, April 4th. We'll be touching on a few interesting agenda items, including ARPA, and more ARPA, and offer some ways for you to get involved. A quick process note, we record this a few days before the council meeting, which means there will likely be some changes to the agenda between now and then. Another quick note, you may notice I sound a little bit rough today. I'm coming back from a cold, so Molly's going to take the brunt of the episode today, and I will just pop in with my croaking from time to time as needed. All right, Molly, let's do this.
Thanks for doing this with us, Jess, even though you're not, your voice is not at its top. But yeah, let's dive right in. So we're really mostly talking about ARPA today, and ARPA stands for the American Rescue Plan Act. We have talked about ARPA a few different ways, a few different times. This is the money from the federal government that went to municipalities as pandemic relief, really specifically to address the impacts of the pandemic. Ann Arbor received a little over $24 million. And this is now the moment when council is going to vote on how we are spending this money. So I'm going to do a little like back it up and talk through how we got here. Because I think it's helpful to think through the whole process now that we're at the end. So Ann Arbor got $24 million. Then staff, partly in conjunction, I think, with conversations with council members, made a list of possibilities of what we could potentially spend these ARPA funds on. And there are limitations from the government in terms of what this money is and is not for. One-time infrastructure spending is good. The directly addressing pandemic, like people who are harmed by the pandemic and services, good. Some other things are discouraged or not permitted in the Rescue Plan Act. So it's this was not just free money. So they made a list based on what the possibilities were in terms of what our priorities have been, what we know about issues that we've had locally. Then there was public engagement. This was the survey that we encouraged you all to complete that had the dots, and you could allocate different amounts of dollars to the things that you chose and also rank order them in priority. And we talked a bit about the outcome of the public engagement. That was the next step. There was a memo that said, this is what everyone said. And then that included recommendations about how to appropriate funds based on that outcome. And the recommendations were not always perfectly aligned with the public engagement. So we talked about Vision Zero, which did not score highly in the public engagement, but which we know is a priority for the city. And so there was a recommendation to allocate $2 million to that. And that is in fact what's in the resolution, which is now this final step. So council will vote to allocate this money. And there's an additional piece now, like another final step, which is that there are a few proposed amendments that are also on the table for Monday. So staff prepared this resolution based on all of these things. And now some council members are saying, wait, I don't actually want you to spend it in this way. We should move it around in these ways. And so we're actually mostly going to talk through the amendments today and not the allocation itself, because at this point, we've talked about the memo. There aren't a lot of surprises in this resolution. Things that we care about, like unarmed response, is recommended to be funded at $3.5 million. Talked about Vision Zero. There's some other things we're going to get to. This resolution is more or less what we might have expected. Why are we talking about it today? It's a bunch of money. Like $24 million is real money. This was a point where a lot of us did get involved. And so now we want to see how did it turn out? But also because of these proposed amendments, which are pretty yikes, honestly, we have concerns about the amendments. There's yet one more possibility of a way to get involved to sort of put in one more call of support for some of these things that that we hope will get funded.
And I just want to offer a little bit more kind of refinement to that, which is of the four amendments that we're about to talk about, two of them are kind of tweaks, like they're refinements of the funding that's in there. So of these dollars, don't reallocate them, but please make sure you dedicate some to X. And those tweaks we're essentially in favor with because there's no redirection. It's the redirections that are challenging. So we're going to talk about that a bit.
Yeah. So that's the ARPA resolution. This is actually the last thing on the agenda for the meeting, but it was the biggest and most important. And given that Jess's voice might go out entirely at any moment, we wanted to get it up front. So we're going to dig into these amendments in order, starting with Amendment 1, which is to fund street repairs in lieu of basic income from ARPA funds. So right now, there is $1.6 million in the resolution allocated to a universal basic income pilot or demonstration project. And we're going to talk in just a moment about what that is. This amendment, which has four co-sponsors, most of whom also voted for Cars Over People on the Medical Center Drive bridge. So this is starting to feel to me like a little bit of a pattern. It would, instead of putting this towards UBI, it would put these ARPA funds towards road repairs. And road repairs were not on, you might recall, they were not on the public engagement process. There was no, in part because apparently these are not, it's not something that the federal government is recommending you spend this money on. I was pretty upset about this. And I think a lot of people have been pretty upset about this amendment. The thing about road repairs are that they're basically a black hole. The roads will never all be in good condition, no matter how much money we throw at them. Our roads are in very bad condition, many of them, in part because we've deferred maintenance, in part because we have more, like we keep building more roads than we can afford. And Michigan is particularly notorious as a state for doing this. There are also so many other sources of funds that you can use to repair a road. We are about to put, like the city administrator has been talking about putting out a bond issue to fund road repairs at around like $15 million, I think. So this, we're talking about like 1/10 of what we would be getting from this bond issue. That's not to mention things like the gas taxes and all of these all of this money that we can't spend on anything but roads. And this amendment would take money from some of the poorest people in our city who have been hardest hit by the pandemic and put that in roads also. And it's like, I find it shocking. Like it is rare that I am speechless about something and I'm a little bit speechless about this.
It's a bad take. This is a real bad take.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about universal basic income. This is something you may be familiar with. I'm going to quote the National League of Cities. Universal basic income, or UBI, is a cash payment granted to all members of a community on a regular basis, regardless of employment status or income level. It is meant to be individual, unconditional, universal, and frequent. So there are countries in the world where everyone who lives there has a guaranteed basic income, and it's universal. It goes to everyone. Pilots or demonstration projects are not universal. That U part doesn't really apply, but these are guaranteed income. We can think of it as a guaranteed income program or a guaranteed basic income program, specifically targeting low and sometimes low and middle income neighborhoods, sometimes just low income neighborhoods, selecting residents in a variety of different potential ways, including randomly, in order to just give them this money. There are lots of debates about basic income programs, but in other places that have done pilots, they have, quote, I think this is a quote, but I don't see the end quote. I'll just say they have measurably improved participants' job prospects, financial stability, and overall well-being. This is a quote from a recent study of a program's first year. One of the higher profile programs was in Stockton, California. So cities in the United States, these pilots are mostly coming from cities, even though ideally they would come from a larger chunk of government, like the state or the federal government, and they could be funded by progressive taxation so that the money from the wealthiest people could be redirected to the poorest people. But the federal government is far away from doing something like that. So we're doing it. So cities are doing it. And there's even an organization called Mayors for Universal Basic Income. And a lot of cities around the country, in Stockton, the outcomes reported included that 80% of the money that families received were spent on basic needs like food and utilities. And the participants went from part to full-time employment at twice the rate of people who did not receive this basic income. Having some financial stability is really, really important for maintaining financial stability. When people are constantly chasing after a next paycheck, when bills are constantly overdue and power is being shut off, or you don't have access to a vehicle, it's hard to, the whole idea of pulling yourself out of poverty, it's impossible. Poverty is extremely expensive because of all of the overdraft fees and overdue fees. We make it so that it is much more expensive when you can't afford to pay things on time than when you can. And so having a guaranteed basic income helps solve that problem. Ann Arbor's plan is based on Stockton's. So the idea is that the city would select 100 families based on financial, based on financial need, and give them $500 a month for up to 3 years. There are partners already lined up for the city, including the United Way and the Ann Arbor Area Community Foundation. I will also say that this had strong community support in the public engagement process that the city did. So a lot of folks were in favor of doing something like this, guaranteeing income for some of our hardest hit city residents. I'm pausing for a moment. Jess, did you want to add anything?
I think the thing I wanted to add is that we rarely see, especially at a city level, programs directly aimed at targeting poverty. We definitely see it in the nonprofit sector a lot. And there is some support from that in the city and the county through coordinated funding and through various specific program support. But as a city, we really don't take aim at poverty. And if we're talking about reducing the wealth gap, doing that financially is the most direct way to do that. And we really don't engage in that. And so when I saw this in the community engagement, I was so excited to have the option to vote for it. Yeah. Getting at reducing a wealth gap, this wealth inequity that we have, especially in Ann Arbor, we can do it through housing. We can do it through transportation. We can and we should. We can do it through employment, but getting at it through direct financial assistance is one of the fastest and most direct ways to let families make their own decisions about how they can best lift themselves out of this precarity that poverty is. So I was excited to see it. And I was, like Molly, shocked almost to the point of speechlessness. I mean, technically I'm there anyway, but really surprised to see that anyone would want to redirect funds that we really don't do right now. Like, we really don't address poverty directly in this way to something that we have a ton of programs and funding around. Is it enough? No, it's never enough. This isn't enough to eradicate poverty in Ann Arbor, but it is a way to work on it in a way that we do not have any other funds, which isn't true of roads. So this is me agreeing with Molly using different words.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It addresses poverty directly and powerfully. And we know already, because other people have gotten there first, we know it's effective as well. So that's the basic income pilot and why we love it. And now let's talk about the other half of this resolution, this amendment, which would take money away from that and put it towards road repairs. So just looking at it from a transportation lens, purely thinking in the context of our transportation system, the people who would qualify for this income pilot are statistically much less likely to own or have access to cars. When it comes to transportation equity, so not equity more broadly, specifically transportation equity, these are the people who are disproportionately harmed by our current system that prioritizes car travel above transit, biking, or walking. So to take money from UBI and put it into road repairs means that we would be taking money from some of our poorest residents and using it to benefit wealthier residents and also non-residents who drive. If we wanted to do something transportation related with this money that still addressed issues of equity, we could be making available more free and subsidized transit passes. We could be targeting funds to improve pedestrian infrastructure in neglected neighborhoods in the city. They're like, I'm not saying that transportation infrastructure is equitably distributed in the city. And if we wanted to focus on transportation, we could do it in a way that was still thinking about our poorest residents. And this does not do that. I have heard it mentioned that road repairs, full stop, road repairs are an equity issue. That is false. Have roads been repaired equitably in the city of Ann Arbor? No. Like there, it is definitely the case that there are poorer neighbors in this neighborhoods in the city. And in those neighborhoods, you are more likely to find lots of streets with potholes. I live in one of those neighborhoods. I deal with one of those streets. It's absolutely inequitable. But designating money, like taking this money and putting it into the quote, like the road repairs pot, does not address equity. Our whole transportation system is inequitable. The thing that is inequitable inequitable about it is cars. Pouring more money into car infrastructure is not equitable. It's not going to, like, I keep saying this word over and over, equity, equitable, but I got to hammer on it a little bit because it's such an appalling framing that fixing the roads is addressing inequity in some way.
And I will note that the equity argument is one that the sponsoring council members have brought up kind of in conversation. It's not in the amendment language itself, rightfully so, I think. Like what they cite is the road conditions. What they don't cite is how our decisions to improve transportation infrastructure around the city is equity driven. And there is a framework for that. Like city staff are aware of how to prioritize infrastructure and services based on communities and neighborhoods that has historically have had less access to it. This language does not do that.
Mm-mm. No. And furthermore, I understand that citywide, lots of people care about the roads. Lots of people are complaining about the roads. But if you are worried about paying your rent or feeding your kids, you do not give a shit if there is a pothole on your street. And these are the level of worries that we would be addressing with a basic income pilot, is really fundamental basic needs. And roads are not on that list. And that's why this amendment is upsetting. It is our understanding, based on something of an outcry, that this amendment co-sponsors are no longer planning to bring it to the table on Monday. And if no one brings it to the table, it won't be proposed, it won't be voted on, and the basic income pilot will stay. That said, I don't think it would hurt for them to hear from more people about why they support a basic income pilot. And, you know, I think that's kind of it, honestly, like the roads piece, like, it's just, we all know our roads suck and it would be nice if they were better, but there's so many other sources of funding for that. And so, yes, this would be an opportunity to let folks know basic income, this is good. I want to help the people who have been hit hardest by this pandemic and who most need a hand to get out of it.
citycouncil@a2gov.org.
Yeah.
Let folks know.
Yes. Okay. That's amendment one. Moving on to amendment two. Jess, this one's yours.
Dibs. Yes. All right. So this one is to include resident support services funding in the property acquisition for affordable housing. Within the ARPA funding recommendations is $3.5 million designated for acquiring land for affordable housing. This amendment would expand the potential use of this line item to include $500,000 specifically dedicated to supportive services. This amendment has four co-sponsors, including one of the council liaisons to the Housing and Human Services Advisory Board, so it feels well-supported and well-informed. Part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is because we're having more conversations around affordable housing locally. I just kind of wanted to use this as an opportunity for a teaching point. So when we talk about funding for affordable housing, I think most of us are like, that is money that goes to housing that is affordable. And that's the extent to which we think of it. And that's great if that's the case, like good on us. But let's pinch and zoom in a little bit. There is a question of what do we need to fund? Are we supporting physically maintaining existing housing? Are we building new? Are we providing services for people that live there? Because housing workers and advocates know that providing healthcare, mental health care, transportation options, and other supportive services are key to not just getting people housed, but keeping people that way. The challenge is that funding sources for housing are often really restrictive. To say that this set of dollars is only allowed to be used for one of those purposes or two of those purposes. And we saw that too with the affordable housing millage that passed a couple of years ago. Good job, by the way, Ann Arbor. Well done again, Proposal C. But there was a really active conversation in council prior to that about restricting the dollars that were collected through that millage, the percentage of those dollars that could be dedicated towards supportive services. And I get that in a way. Like they want to make sure that this is in service of creating new housing, and that's absolutely urgent. I had some reservations about kind of politically curtailing the services dollars because people in housing know best how their funding needs to be spent. But okay, so that's fine. So this amendment expands the possible uses of these dollars, not just to land acquisition, but also providing services to folks who already live in housing that exists. So if I were to give this amendment a Yelp review, I'd say 4 4-stars. I don't know how Yelp works, but anyway, I like this amendment.
Yeah, we like, this is a good one. Awesome. Yeah. So they're not all that. This next one also is not bad. This one's yours too.
Yep. So Amendment 3 is to include arts-based trauma programs as part of funding for the arts allocation of the ARPA funds. And this is really similar to the last one. So the only reason that I'm including it is for the sake of completeness. We were talking of 3 of the 4 amendments, and I thought you might be curious. So this is the 4th amendment. Within the recommendations is a $500,000 allocation for the arts. This amendment directs that $200,000 of that goes specifically to trauma-informed recovery programs, pandemic recovery programs, noting that such arts programs have additional benefit for youth and Black, Indigenous, and other people of color. So this is a tweak, not a change. Great, fine. More Yelp stars. Well done.
And we talked about this last time, but there were a very small number of very loud people asking that ARPA funds go to quote unquote the arts. And it was not particularly popular. There was a big, big, big push to get people to give dots to the arts in the public engagement. It still didn't, things like basic income scored much higher. But I think in part because of how loud they were, they're getting $500,000. That's not being targeted for road funding, interestingly. So this just makes some adjustments to how that would be spent. Cool. All right. Last one, Amendment 4, to reduce the ARPA allocation for unarmed emergency response and increase ARPA funding for housing the homeless. So this one, we've talked a lot about emergency response or unarmed emergency response. We think this is great. We need it. It was very successful in the public engagement, very highly rated by a lot of people. So there is demand. There is demand for this program. What this amendment would do is take around a little over $900,000 of the $3.5 million currently allocated for unarmed response and move it over to what's called coordinated funding support, which is designated funding for agencies and programs that provide support to people who are experiencing homelessness. Coordinated funding support is currently getting $1.8 million in the existing resolution allocations. So there's money for that already. This would take like pushing $1 million from unarmed response and move it over there. However, it says that it would pull from the marijuana excise tax revenue that was received by the city in fiscal year 22 later. So it's basically like later, after we do this, someday, not on this agenda, we'll have another resolution that would take money from the marijuana excise tax and move it over to the unarmed response program.
And just to like dumb the language down even further, the amendment suggests that this is a zero-sum game, that unarmed response will receive the same amount of funding, even if these funds are redirected from the ARPA allocation.
Right, right. They're saying we just want to move which pots of money it's coming from. We're not actually taking money away from unarmed response. However, that marijuana excise tax money has already been allocated and spent. And also, there is no resolution on the agenda to make that switch happen. And in situations like that, you can't trust that that's ever going to happen. This looks to me like a pretty obvious bait and switch, where they want to take some money from unarmed response now and say they'll give it back later. And then later there will be some reason why they can't. I do not trust this resolution. I think that is a backdoor attempt to underfund unarmed response. And I hope that it does not pass. And this would be another thing that you might like to call in or email in and say, hey, I support unarmed response. We really, really need it in this city. Please do not take any of the ARPA funds away from it to go to the housing for the homeless. And one thing that's interesting to me that I'm just noticing as we talk through these four amendments is like the way some of them try to move money from one specific thing to a different specific thing, but why those two things? Like, why do we want to fund the roads with UBI money? Why do we want to fund housing for the homeless with unarmed response money? Like, why not the arts money or the solar panels money, which could come from somewhere else? That's another one of those things. So it's like solar panels on city-owned properties. That's great. Solar panels are great. We want to be a green city. There are lots of other funding sources that we could access. Furthermore, solar panels will eventually pay for themselves. But anyway, those aren't the things being targeted. I don't know why. I cannot read people's minds, but I just think it's the kind of thing worth noting. What's being targeted to have money taken from it, and what's being targeted to have money moved to it, and who is doing that and why?
I have to say, I was reminded on the UBI to roads. I was reminded of the proposed budget amendment last year that would have transferred tens of thousands of dollars from the proposed study on the racialized origins of single family zoning to the center of the city, to center of the city budget slash fund slash whatever. I don't know what they wanted to use it for, but that felt so wildly out of whack to me to take something that really digs into our city's racialized history in a way that we don't have yet. And we don't have funds set aside for that. Right. To an initiative that has no demonstrated equity efforts attached to it. Not really. Right. This felt very similar. There's no discussion of the equity imbalance in thing A and thing B. And equity is a challenging and nuanced thing to talk about. You know, to be able to say my thing is more equitable than your thing requires pulling in a lot of information and, you know, judgment making. But these two felt pretty clear.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really stark. It's, yeah, very stark. All right. We've now gotten through all four amendments to the ARPA funding allocation, and we can move on to everything else that's on the agenda.
There are a couple of fun things. And when I say fun, I mean, it's nice to see council doing things that we're excited about, that we support, and that we want to encourage people to write in and say thank you. Because I got to say, I know from a lot of secondhand stories, most of what council hears is complaints and abuse, you know, and for sure, our elected officials are the way that we as constituents express what we'd like to see in our city. But doing that in an affirmative way is nice too, and another way of building relationships. So to that end, on the agenda, public hearing 1 and B1, which means the second reading, is a rezoning of 350 South Fifth from D1 to Molly. What is it?
A PUD. No, it's a PUD. It's a PUD.
It's like the Sesame Street of zoning.
This episode is brought to you by PUND.
That's right. So 350 South Fifth, colloquially known as the Y Lot. This is the second reading for this, which means that this is the one that council will vote on. So a housing commission is working to develop a significant number of affordable housing units on this site in the form of apartments, and they're getting the zoning in order to be able to do so as efficiently and inexpensively as possible in advance of bringing on a developer partner and build team to make the project happen. I'm just talking about it because this is and is going to be a big, good step in the right direction on making downtown more affordable and more economically diverse. So thanks, Council. And thank you, Ann Arbor, for pushing this. You absolutely pushed for this. And Council heard you and has been working on it. So please, please do take a minute to email Council and thank them for making this happen. Again, that's citycouncil@a2gov.org.
Yeah, right. And one way you could write in a positive way is to say, I think the basic income pilot sounds wonderful. And I'm really excited that you're going to fund it. And I support it. And I hope that you will continue to fund it at the levels in this resolution. That would be the positive way to say all the things that we talked about earlier.
And not the incoherent rage that we occasionally approach things with.
Correct. And we have another positive thing to call in with on the next agenda item, which is public hearing 2 and B2, which is, we talked about this before, rezoning of 68 lots in the South State Street and East-West Eisenhower Parkway area to TC1. So this is our first transit corridor rezoning. We talked about it when it was on the agenda last time. For things like this, they have to come through twice. So,
and as a reminder, it wasn't actually last time, it was the agenda before. Yeah. So the March 7th meeting.
If you want to hear us talk more about TC1 in general, March 7th episode. And the way rezonings like this happen is that council passes them on a first round of voting. And then the second time they come back, there's a public hearing and anyone can call in. You don't have to sign up ahead of time. It's an unlimited number of spots. So this would be another opportunity to call in if you want practice calling in, or just send an email and say, yes, I'm in favor of transit corridors. We need more housing and more mixed use and more density and all those things. And please say yes to transit corridor zoning and this particular rezone. And that's all the agenda stuff for today. Did you want to talk about the survey, right?
I actually have a couple of things I wanted to bring up. So first of all, Ann Arbor be Ann Arboring, and I loved it. So this week there were a couple of people who really stood out to me as, I am so glad that I get to live in the same community as these benevolent weirdos. So the first one is the Community Action Network, or CAN. The executive director, Derek Miller, is somebody who was formerly in the military. He's been with CAN for a long, long time and became the director a couple of years ago. He's actually coordinating with some of his former military colleagues to go to Poland to help support Ukraine in the resistance. I think, and he sent out a letter to CAN supporters, people on the newsletter list, explaining why CAN's mission drove him to take this action. And essentially what he's saying is that we are all connected. My cause is your cause and your freedom is my freedom. And I cannot not take my skills and experience in support of these people if I really care about CAN. So I'm going to drop a link in the show notes to his letter about that, because it's not a call to action. Derek's not asking us to do anything, although he does offer some opportunities to support various relief organizations in support of Ukraine. But in terms of somebody making a clear and loving case for how to invest in the self-interest of people who are not ourselves or our neighbors, I've rarely read a lovelier kind of manifesto, if you want to call it that. So I'm going to drop a link in the show notes to that.
Awesome.
The other person that I wanted to call out, oh, God love him, public health researcher and advocate Bill Lopez. First of all, Bill is amazing. So is his Twitter, which I'm not on, but so I hear. I'm so not on Twitter that I can't believe that I heard about this, but he posted a thread reinterpreting Oscar's fashion as public health graphs. I don't even need to sell that. So going to drop a link in the show notes. It's just great that that happened.
It's delightful.
It is. All right. And then the last thing that I wanted to say about the pod is that it is survey time again. Longtime listeners will remember that we did this last spring. We so appreciated your feedback. We really did. We took a lot of it to heart in terms of what you thought we could be doing better on the podcast. We loved hearing about what you thought we were already doing well and your favorite episodes, which are also often ours, by the way. You liked the land use planning and the budget episodes, so thanks for that. Also Healthy Streets, which was a fun one to do. Thanks, Molly. So please let us know again. The link, we'll put it in the show notes, but it's our website, annarraaf.com/survey. It's anonymous. Tell us anything you want. We also include a couple of questions around this year's election and what you think might be useful to you to hear or to learn or to understand. So annarraaf.com/survey. Come tell us all your thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, we like hearing what you want to know and what you want to learn from us. It's helped us as we've grown as podcasters. And then the last one is a reminder that you can still vote for us or nominate us technically for best local podcast of Washtenaw. And there will be a link in show notes. You'll go to the arts and entertainment section and scroll down. Local podcast is towards the middle. You can nominate us once a day. So do that if you feel like you have the energy. You're already going to Wordle once a day and Quartle once a day. You can go to the Best of Washtenaw thing once a day, vote for us, and hopefully we'll get a nomination to be Best Podcast of Washtenaw. And that's it for this episode of Ann Arbor AF. Come check out past episodes and transcripts at our website, annarraaf.com. Keep the conversation going with fellow Ann Arbor AFers on Twitter at the A2 Council hashtag, and Facebook in the Ann Arbor Housing for All group. And hey, if you want to send us a few dollars at ko-fi.com/AnnArborAF to help us with hosting, we always appreciate it. We're your co-hosts, Molly Kleinman and Jess Letaw, and thanks to producer Scott Trudeau. Theme music is I Don't Know by Grapes. You can reach us by email at annarraafpod@gmail.com. Get informed, then get involved. It's your city.